Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Tika and I want to thank everyone for tuning in to tonight's show. We have a very, very exciting show talking about current affairs, and I think this is probably the first time that we've talked about or did this type of show, so should be interesting, and hopefully you all have some feedback as to what's going on around us in this world today. There's so many things happening that I think we don't think about because we feel like we're not affected, so to speak, in a sense. But I think more so than the things in our lives, even the bigger things such as, you know, voting and things like that. I know that we just went through voting here locally in our area, in Shelby County area, and I'm truly amazed by the number of people that still decide not to vote. And then those who decide not to vote when we're faced with things or when there are certain bills or things that are not passed, they're oftentimes the main one that is complaining, why this, why that. Not that, you know, we can control so much of it, but certainly we should at least get out and vote in order to have our say, so to speak, in determining who goes to office. So just thanking you all for tuning in again, hoping that you all will be able to share some of your concerns, your thoughts on some of the items that are or some of the things that are going around in our world and in your community. So many of you are from different areas, and we may not always hear what's going on in your area, and so you also may not hear about what's going on in our direct areas as well. So many things have happened here lately. I personally have some. I had many, but of course, narrowing down the list for the sake of the show, I picked a few out of several, and Tika may have some different ones, but for me, and I'm sure all of you are aware of this one, we have the issue that's going on with Chick-fil-A, and I call it the Chick-fil-A scandal. I don't know if that's what they're calling it. Find that one to be really, really interesting. And in talking about that one, I feel it's also necessary to talk about, of course, same-sex marriage, and since all of this is steering from, you know, the biblical sense of, or biblical sense to some of us, and not so much so for some of us as well, as to what marriage is. So we'll talk about that, and also, in light of talking about that, I also would like to bring up marriage as we see it, as some of us see it in the biblical sense, you know, a man and a woman. And in speaking about marriage, I would like to see, and I'll get more into this on that discussion, I'd like to see more pastors and leaders stand up to eliminate so much divorce or try to decrease the number of divorces among a man and a woman. So that's kind of my thing as well. And then I'd like to talk about President Obama and this presidential race that's going on now. And then all of that ties into, of course, religion, the church, Christians, so to speak. And then Gabby is a few of my top concerns. And like I said, Tika may have some more as well. So Tika, do you have any different than what I named there or anything that you'd like to add to the list that we'll talk about tonight just for the sake of them knowing what's on your list?
Just when through the teen violence, violence against others, rather. I didn't make it just a teen violence, but just, you know, violence against others. Basically mentioned it, and my brother's speaker, and same-sex marriage, and then some issues and what the Bible has to say about divorce.
Okay.
So my topics are not as deep as the topics of what's going on today, but basically with everything what's going on today, what does the Bible have to say about the concerns of our world today?
Okay, okay. All right, and you all feel free to, again, share. We really like to have you share what particularly is going on in your area that we may not know about. If you're calling from you know, other areas, we have some calls from Georgia and North Carolina and some others as well. So just feel free to jump in at any time and share some things that are going on with in your area locally, and also if you have something to share about the more broader aspect of life, those things that affect us all, regardless of the outcome. And, of course, that would be for sure. Everybody should have something to say on this, on what we're seeing, because I'm amazed by what we're seeing as far as it relates to having the first black president. You know, I'm just really amazed at some of the things that I have, the conversations that I've had with people from the very beginning. So that's what tonight's show is about. So, again, feel free to jump in at any time. Before going on, I just want to remind you all, if you're listening online, tuning in online tonight, the chat line is open. If you want to submit your question or comment, you must be a registered follower of the show. If you're not, you can always call in using the 818-691-7406 number. Again, 818-691-7406. And you only have to select the number 1 if you're calling in tonight on the call-in line. You only select the number 1 if you do have a comment or a question. So the chat lines are open at any time. You don't have to wait until we have completed a certain section. So just feel free to jump in at any time. Going forward, I would like to start with the religion, because I think, of course, that's where a lot of things stem from, or it should. If it's not, in my opinion, it should, in our relationship and our thoughts and concerns as far as religion. And I think a lot of the things come about, particularly with the Chick-fil-A scandal. I personally am really surprised that Chick-fil-A is in the limelight, so to speak, for this particular issue or concern. And one reason, or the main reason, is because I feel like, don't we all really know what Chick-fil-A's biblical views are as a company? I mean, they have put that in the limelight forever. Being closed on Sundays, it is. We know that they have some biblical perspective, and I know for me, I've always known that. But like I've perceived them to be a Christian company. So I thought of all the restaurants, of all the businesses to have this comment, or the CEO or the owner to have this comment come from. It just seems a little odd to me. It just seems a little odd. And I thought, could this be a tactic? Could this be a way to for media to get more of what they do out? Because to me, it just seems the media has taken over. I did not realize that there were so many people media-wise. It's like everybody, people are coming out of the woodwork. Everyone has something to say about everything and something, and it's just like many channels just seems to be more talk about something, and in many times I think a lot of this may be created, and particularly when it comes time for election and things like that, it just seems like it's just been an ongoing thing, and even more so since President Obama has come into office. I find it real just interesting and really strange that how things just continue to come about since we have our first black president was elected into office. So that's one thing for me. I just found that weird. And going back to religion, I want to say this, and this is my personal opinion, but I strongly believe in this. I feel just because of what I think religiously, I am certainly not sure that I have it all correct. I'm not sure that everything that I perceive or believe, I'm not really sure that when I when all this world is over, that everything that the way I understand it to be is going to be exactly that. So that's why for me, I have always kept the lines of communication open when I am in a conversation or in the company of someone who doesn't always believe exactly as I do. Because who am I to say that they are completely wrong? Because, again, I don't know if we all just clearly have a true understanding. This world is God is too big for us to know exactly everything, exactly correct. So that being said, don't think that the way that you believe and perceive something is exactly right or the only way. And to back that up, I'd like to send you all, you can read this on your own, but Romans is a good chapter to study up on this. Of course, the Bible, you know, period, but Romans is a good chapter to look more into this. And Romans 14 just basically tell us, you know, that people are going to believe and do things based on their history, based on their upbringing, and so forth. So we really can't control. And I often wonder, if I was raised differently or in a different religion, what would I be today? What type of religion would I practice today? If I had parents who raised me up in, you know, in the home where they practice a different religion, I may believe differently. I may perceive things differently. So, you know, let's not judge one another based on, you know, what their beliefs are. Because, again, we don't know their circumstances, and we don't know their history. We don't know how they were brought up. Some countries, they're not even allowed. People are not even allowed to practice religion or to have Bibles, so to speak. So wanted to say that about that. And going, Tika, do you want to get in on anything on the religion part?
No, go ahead with the religion.
Okay. Going into that, that brings us to, of course, the Chick-fil-A scandal. And all of this kind of steered from the comment of the owner supporting his biblical beliefs, his beliefs or his beliefs of how marriage, the biblical beliefs, I guess, of what marriage is. And the biblical definition of what marriage is for us, a family unit. And this was Dan Cathy, the owner. So I find it interesting that Chick-fil-A is at the front and center of this, being that we already knew or know that Chick-fil-A has some strong biblical beliefs. So why not pick Chick-fil-A to be this company? Because they know that it's going to begin or start some type of controversy so that the media can pick it and get all over it. So I do find that strange. Now, what I find even more strange is that why is it such an issue or such, why does it bother people so much so that this owner has stated what he believes? Isn't that a freedom of speech? And when are we going too far? I mean, truly, when are we going too far to the point where we have to go to this restaurant and have people go there to rally, you know, have same-sex couples to go there and want to kiss each other? There's so many more things as a world and as a country that we can stand up for together, whether it's two men, two women, or a woman and a man, but there's so many more things. So all of this has just taken me to another level when it comes to what I see going on in this world today. It all just seems to be sometimes this plot and this plan, and it's really becoming sickening. It really is becoming sickening. Now, that just may be my opinion on that, but I do. I find it really, really strange that it's Chick-fil-A, and why not McDonald's? You know, why not go there and see what their views are, or why not post everyone's views or as many as you can? And maybe they've did that, so if someone else has seen that and I'm wrong on that, please do come in and let us know. But I think that this owner and any other owner has the right to share what his or her beliefs is whether it be biblical or anything else. I think everyone has a right to say, this is how I feel. And if this was such an issue to same-sex couples, if this is such an issue, then why not just go around and see what everybody's beliefs are before you spend your money there? I mean, because that's exactly what you're doing now. You know, this to me, this just it's insane. And I don't, me personally, you do what you feel is right for you. But when you get to rallying and you have to kiss in front of, if you have to make your statement that way, I just think that something is wrong. Something is wrong. So that's my personal thought. So lines are open on that. And that's just kind of how I feel about it. If you all have something else to share, please feel free to do so. We're going to move through these quickly and share our opinions. And hopefully if you feel different or if you want to add to that, you'll jump in and do so. But that's my take on Chick-fil-A. Tika, anything you want to share on Chick-fil-A and this that's going
on? Yeah, with Chick-fil-A, I think one thing we have to realize is that as Christians, we do have to take a stand for the truth. And we don't need to fear that we will be attacked personally or insulted personally or persecuted, because if that will always be your fear, then you being a secret Christian or a quiet Christian, it's not going to make any changes on society, and it's not going to show anyone that you represent anything different. There's biblical scripture to back up what you're saying. And so even if you feel that, well, everybody won't be on my team or I'm going to be shunned, just speaking and standing up for the truth is what, you know, what we need to do. We need to unify on something like this. I was really disturbed when Tammy shared with me what was going on with Chick-fil-A. But I also found that in this, the truth, no matter what, the truth will always be rejected and replaced with a lie. And then the lie will then be promoted and the truth will be suppressed and attacked. And so one thing I noticed out of this is that the anger that's expressed through the gay rights movement and anyone who opposes them, they attack anyone who opposes them, and they're seeking to have equality in everything. And so I can understand that everybody has rights. We all do. This is supposed to be a country where we have freedom of speech and freedom of, you know, the freedom to do anything that we want to do. But I don't believe, it doesn't make sense to me that he's being attacked for his beliefs versus if we attack a gay person or their movement, then we will be shunned for that as well. So I truly believe the Christians should stand firm against the idea of gay and same-sex marriages and same-sex unions. Most of all, this is just not my belief. This is something that, you know, the Word of God, you know, stands strong on. But for the most part, not in just feeling that you have a right to condemn them, but other than showing them or trying to make them realize that it's something else out there better, and this is really not the way that God wants them to live. No matter what, you're supposed to walk in love. You're supposed to speak in love. You're supposed to act in love. You're not supposed to condemn them. You're supposed to show them with more of an upright walk and an upright way of being. And if your behavior and if your actions and if your judgment, if your actions, your behavior, or words are very judgmental and condemning, you're not showing or proving yourself to be any different than the way they're acting and behaving. So even in this, God wants you to come to them and approach them and show them what his word states and says, and be that by applying those same actions in your own life, because this is something that truly is not going to go away. It's going to continue to grow because it is driven by the world. It is driven by the world and how the world wants you to conform into believing that this is the way things have to be. We're just going to make it all even. Same-sex marriage and man and woman marriage is the same thing, when it is absolutely not, because two of the same sex cannot procreate. And the two that can actually procreate, that was what God intended, and that is what he designed man and woman for.
And I hear what you're saying, and I agree to a certain extent. For me, I know when it comes to, I think for me, I would take the stance on allowing them to, because here's where you'll get into, for me, you'll get into kind of a uproar, because sin is sin. And if I'm here telling this person not to engage in this, and I have sin in my life, as we all do, and then some people really think that even to marry as a woman and a man, that because they'll go to you and say, well, the Bible says it's better not to marry, so to speak. So I agree that we as believers should start standing up for things that really are affecting us in this world. And there's, like I said, there's so many more things that we could stand up and fight for, because really I think people who decide to be engaged with a person of the same sex, they have some strong beliefs that this somehow is right, this is who I am, and God understands me. So they look at it sometimes no different than being addicted to drugs, and it's a sin that I'm if they look at it as a sin. So I just really don't know enough about it to really say you should not do this, or tell them you should not do this because of this, because there's something that they can tell me, Tammy, you should not do this because of this in the Bible. And I think we lose them, or possibly could lose them, with saying, you know, this you shouldn't do this because this is in the Bible, because there's always something that they can say that we should not be doing because it's in the Bible.
Well, yeah, absolutely, because no matter what, every last one of us are none of us are free of sin, none of us.
Right, and I think Christians, I'm going to say believers, should fight more. For instance, look how people join together, and we don't have prayer in school anymore.
Right.
Christians, whatever you want, too quiet for those things that, like prayer and that kind of thing. I think we should definitely be fighting for prayer in school and things like that. But those things that same sex and all that, I just say, for me, that's between you and God. You can the same Bible that I have, you can go get it and read it, and you will have to stand before God and be judged to your own accord. And so, but prayer and things like that, prayer should have never been taken out of school. Mm-hmm. For those of who wanted to pray, pray. If you don't, then you don't. But they totally won on that. So those things, I think we should certainly, people should certainly be fighting for. Teen pregnancy, divorce, things like that. We really should be. Divorce is so high. I was looking at the number of same-sex divorce versus the number of divorces where we see it as biblical sense. It's men and women are getting divorced more than two men or two women. So mm-hmm. I would like to see the pastors that are all up in uproar about this, how about you start in your own church and try to help couples stay together, help couples learn how to communicate better, help them deal with the issues that they're having, you know, adultery and things like that, or lack of communication, you know, lack of submissiveness, all of that. How about more of that in your church or in your community, rather than you're out here on a broad trying to tell two men or two women what they should not do, but you got half of your congregation who probably divorced since they've been under you. And they, right. Most times they can't even get in to talk to you about what issues they are going through. So rather than getting out there and trying to fight this same-sex issue, that's not my fight. Personally, that's how I feel about it. That's not my fight. That's between that person and God. And what, you know, if that works for you, that works for you.
Well, I wanted to mention that I wasn't meaning that I would just go and bombard into their lives. I believe that everybody has a right to do as they want to do. But when someone wants to force, you know, because when I can look and get along with everyone, but I don't think that it's right for someone to force themselves, like they're going to go into this man's restaurant and they're going to force themselves on him. I think then that's when it's time for us to take a stand on what is right, on what is right. I don't think that that's time for us to be quiet. I don't mean just barge into their areas and do anything like that, because, of course, that is between them and God, but we're supposed to show them and be an example. But it's hard to be an example if we know we're like living a life full of sin, but yet we're pointing the finger and condemning. So it's not easy to point the finger, and a whole lot of people point the finger when their lives and their ways and their actions and lifestyles are full of sin themselves. They may not be a homosexual, but they live a lie and they speak lies daily. So it's like I said, it's easy for somebody else to point the finger and say, well, that person is gay or that person is this. But, you know, when you look at the mirror, what do you call yourself? And so a whole lot of us are full of sin. I just don't think it's right for one group with their beliefs to go and attack or enforce their beliefs on someone else, no matter what. And if, in fact, something like that does take place, I believe, as believers, we should unify together and, you know, share what the Word has to say about that.
Right. And it's actually gone to a whole nother level where there are college campuses that are trying to, and also, you probably know about this as well, but the you know, different mayors are saying, stay away from my city. You know, I think that's mm-hmm. taking it too far. That's taking it too far because, you know, that's like saying my street, I live on my street, if they find out that I am of a certain religion, now they want me to move off this street. Are you telling me I can't come here because I'm this type of religion? That's, to me, that's just going too far to have, you know, college campuses saying we want you off of our campus, or to have mayors get involved in something like this saying you can't come to my city. That's a bit far to me because of what I believe, my biblical beliefs, you know, mm-hmm. and that's taking it far overboard for me, and it would not work for me. But personally, I don't think Chick-fil-A is going to be going to lose much at all over
down from that.
And again, mm-hmm. I think it's very ironic that Chick-fil-A was selected
chosen
for this show, because we already know that most of us know what Chick-fil-A's views are, biblical views are, maybe not to the extent of, you know, corporately or the owner, and so to speak, but they show that by being closed on Sundays. I mean, we know that there's some biblical sense behind them. And it, for me, it shows in their service. It shows I've never had an issue with customer service or anything at Chick-fil-A.
Neither have I.
It shows mm-hmm. in the people that they hire and so forth. They do a really good job of selecting their people. And training. So if that has anything to do with his biblical beliefs, then my hat's off to him, because I've never had an issue, and they're probably the only place that I can say that about. So in short, that's my thought, my feelings, Antica's, on this Chick-fil-A scandal, and I hope all of you will agree on one thing, that he has a right to state what his biblical beliefs about this situation or anything else. He has a right to do so. If they have a right to go and do what they decided to do, I think not. I mean, maybe have a right, but should they have did it? I think not. But they did. And again, we have mayors, we have students who are saying, not on my campus, they don't want them here on their campus. We have mayors saying, not in my city. It's a bit far. What next? And these are the things that, you know, like I said, there are so many people here locally that just did not go and vote. I mean, I have friends within my circles like, no, I didn't vote. I'm not going. Why? Okay, so when something happens, when things start going on around here that now you see really do affect you, but you didn't take the time to go and vote, don't call me, because I don't need to hear from you. You didn't make the time to go vote. You didn't help put anybody in, and you didn't help keep anybody out. So what you're saying is this doesn't affect me, basically. So you should not have anything to say later. And I think that's kind of all over the world. I think some people just decide not to take the time to do that for their own personal reasons, and they feel like they really don't have a choice. But at least I know that I voted, and I voted for who I wanted to vote for. And if that person doesn't get in, I can't control that, but I can control taking the time to go out and voicing my opinion and expressing what I want based on what I feel they each represent. And we just don't do that, but we always find the time to complain and grump about what's going on now well, after the fact, that affects me. So if you guys want to get in on that or have anything to say on that, please feel free to do so. The lines are open, and if you want to just kind of carry through with the show and come back and have something to say on that later, please feel free to do so. Remember, you have to select the number one in order for us to know that you have a question or a comment. Okay, so moving right along into our president. And I hope that all of you will have something to say on this. And I'm going to start this out by sharing a very personal story of mine. Since President Obama has taken office, I am truly amazed by the number of calls. And I remember the very first call where a friend of mine called and asked, so what do you think about the president? How do you think he's doing? And I probably lost a friend at that time because I thought, well, you know what? You've never asked me this question ever before. I've known you for quite a while. You've not called and asked me how any president selected before President Obama, what my thoughts were, how are they doing. Now, this person probably didn't mean any harm, but I took offense to it because, again, I'm thinking, you know, we've had a lot of presidents, a lot, and I've known you for many years. And, again, I've never had this call, and I just felt like it was another way to bring up the negative things about I wouldn't say negative things or some negative things in this person's opinion about the president. So I kind of just stopped it right there, and it got a little heated, and I decided just kind of, hey, we're not going to talk about this because, again, I just think it's not necessary. I think he's doing a wonderful job with what he's been given. So if you pass me the torch and you're already a mile behind, you know, you're not giving me much room to catch up with the runners in front of me. So that's kind of how I feel about people, so much talk about what President Obama has done, has not done. And I was in a situation a couple of weeks ago where I heard someone make a comment, and it was in a very odd place for this comment to come out. And, you know, basically that President Obama was going to send this country to hell. I thought, wow, where did that come from? And as I listened more and heard this person talk, really it's all about people, many people were broke or on the verge of being broke before President Obama took office, and many of them will be after this election, after he wins and does his next 4 years, they will be the same. And so what I feel they're doing is they found an easy escape, something to make them feel better about their situations. And I'm not saying that things have not happened to some people who really had planned, maybe, you know, to have their finances a bit better. But I think a lot of this crap that people are putting on the first black president, it's just that. It's just crap. It's just needing someone to blame for a number of things that are going on in their lives right now. People are unhappy about many of things. So my take on that, and again, please feel free to jump in and share it anytime, and don't feel like you have to feel the same way that Tika and I feel, Tika and I have not talked about this, so I don't really know how she feels about it, but that's my opinion. If you've not been concerned, there's so much concern, so much talk, every station is about President Obama. I really feel like if I've said this to many people, if he plants a peach tree, someone will say it should have been an apple tree. That's just how down many people are. And it's not just white. I hear black people talking about it as well, of all race. I just won't make it black and white. I hear many people talking again. But never before in my 44 years have I ever heard so much talk about the president.
Negative talk, yeah.
I've never heard negative talk about. I can't say that I've ever heard it. You know, from it's so much so. You know, mm-hmm. You hear it so little till it doesn't even mount up to. You hear it and you real such little of it, negative talk, so you can't even remember hearing it, so to speak. And we had so many things go on when President Bush was in office. So many things that President Obama took with him, had to bring in office with him to fix. And there's so many bills, people, I just don't understand how people don't understand how, you know, these bills have to be passed You know, there's so many things that President Obama has tried to get through that have been shot down. And I wonder, you know, the same person who called me years ago, do you really know that? Are you searching? Are you listening? Are you reading? Do you really know? Are you going by what you're hearing and taking a stance on using that, not really knowing and just believing what you hear, so to speak? But there are so many bills that have been passed, and there are so many that have that should have been because they're for the good of the people. They're just simply for the good of people. And they're not passed through. So it's as if, you know, people think that President Obama is sitting there passing the bills or denying the bills solely, solo. No help, no voting, no anything. So it's a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge, a lack of people getting out to vote for these things. Even, like I said, locally here, have many, many friends that decided. I was really disappointed. Many, many friends in my circle that no, I didn't. And we have early voting, as many places do. And then with all of the situations or the issues that we have at the voting polls, how many times has that happened? And how many presidents have we had? Come on, people. And so that's what this is about. Wake up. How many times has that happened? I believe it was in Ohio, and I might have that wrong. I was looking at a couple of nights ago, I guess it was, and they were talking about how students had to stand out for so long just to be able to vote, hours and hours. And they wanted them to just cast their ballot, you know, just write their ballot and give it to them. That's crazy. It's insane. So just look at what's going on around you. If you're not involved and you're not getting out voting and really taking a stance and doing something, then shut up. Then just leave it alone and just do what you do and allow them to do what they do. But the worst thing you can do is not do anything and then start talking about what's going on. Because really, you have no say. If you don't work, don't expect a paycheck. So if you're not voting, don't expect your opinion to be included, and don't expect someone to sit up and talk to you about your opinion when you've not taken the time to even go voice your opinion. The only way one of the only ways that really, really matter is through your vote. You know, we have a presidential race going on, or, you know, the election's getting ready to start, and people don't even really know what's going on and where we are with it, nothing. And probably won't vote again. But as soon as it's over and some winners are announced, everybody's ready to post their things on Facebook and they're ready to say this and that, did not vote. If they did a poll and see how many people were talking about it and they searched their name, probably half of them, more than half, would not have voted. So lines are open. Please, again, feel free to voice your opinion. Tika, anything on any of those things that I've made?
Yeah.
Anything additional
to
add?
Yes, I have something just to add to it. I've never really, and I don't even know if it's just a personal preference, I've never really had a desire to really understand or want to understand politics. You know, I would tune into it for a little while as the presidential election was going on, and I would like to, you know, find out their views. And you know, no matter what, you would always get feedback. Society's going to give you feedback. They give you their personal feedback. They give you feedback of this person's history, where they came from, what their views are, what they did prior to running for that exact political office. But I've never really gotten into it. And then when I learned of a black person running for president, it did make me want to do a little bit more research of my own, not what I heard, not what somebody told me, not what the news said, but I did my own research. And a lot of times I think we need to just do our own research and don't just go with the flow of the crowd. Do not listen to the crowd, because otherwise you're going to complain when the crowd complains. You're going to cheer when the crowd cheers. You're going to be mad when the crowd is mad, and you're not even going to know what you're being mad for, what you're cheering for, what you're voting for, what you're reading for, what you're fighting for. You got to be able to know yourself. And if you have some of the same views as other people, then that's great. But then if your views are opposite of someone, and no matter what, we're not going to have the exact same views on any single topic, because we're not the same exact person with the same exact mindset. And so I found, like I said, that I just wanted to get to know who this person was that I wanted to vote for, to see, am I voting for all the right reasons, or am I going to do what the crowd does? And I remember my grandmama saying to me as I was a little girl, when I would just say, well, everybody's doing this or everybody's doing that. And she said, well, if everybody goes and jumps off the bridge, you're going to do it too. And she said that to me so much as a child, I make sure that I'm not always doing what the crowd says do. And so in, you know, politics and religion, that's a very thin line, because no matter what, once people learn of what your political views are or what your religious views are, you're going to shun and turn off a whole lot of people. You're going to have a few people that may, you know, feel that, okay, well, yeah, I'm kind of on that same team. But then you're going to have a whole lot of people that are against you. And what you have to realize is no matter what, you're going to have naysayers. You're going to have naysayers. You're going to have negative feedback. You're going to have critics no matter what. You cannot please everybody. We can't please everybody. Jesus couldn't. And so one thing that, you know, when Tammy mentioned about what you don't know, Hosea 4:6 says, my people will perish for a lack of knowledge. You don't get knowledge based on what you hear. You got to take some time to go and study and crack a book or find some form or some way to research what you've heard or what somebody's told you or what was said on the news. Because even though it was on the news, you can still find something to contradict it, because no matter what, there's going to always be sides to everything. And so Jesus' word also said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. So if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But he says his believers do not belong to the world. So as it is, you do not belong to the world, but he's chosen you to be out of the world. And so any type of rejection that you receive, don't feel as if you got to please the world. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19 tells you that. If the world hates you, don't accept the world, or don't treat the world as, well, I got to please the world and I don't want to be completely shunned. No matter what, everybody's just not going to agree with you. But it's nothing wrong with standing up and recognizing the truth when the truth is right in your face. But for the most part, don't just go with the crowd, and don't just, like Tammy says, more than anything, it truly bothers me when people won't get out and vote and really take a stand on making their voice count. Because once upon a time, we as the black race, you know that we couldn't vote.
Right.
We had no right to vote. And so when we had no right to vote, oh, my goodness,
you
my grandmother and all of the people that came before her, if they would have had a chance to vote, oh, my goodness. So just to think, if they could actually come back to this time right now and look at all of their offspring that are not voting because they don't want to, or because they think that they can't make a difference, or because all they want to do is not vote but sit back and talk about them, oh, my goodness. They would just be broken. Whatever you have a right to do, take a stand and make your right count. Make your vote count. And like Tammy said, it's so simple. People will not get out and vote, but they got everything to say about everybody. But, you know, people who live in glass houses cannot throw stones, meaning I'm going to talk about you, but I'm over here in a world of mess in my own life, in my own situation, in my own lifestyle. These kind of people, that is just the people of the world, period. Everybody has something to say about everything and everybody. But if you really want to make a difference, you cannot make a difference, and nothing changes if you sit there and do nothing about it. And so if you want to make a change, you got to be a part of the change. If you don't want to be a part of the change, don't complain that nothing has changed.
Right.
That is very, very, very simple.
It is. Great point, Seek. And when you were talking, I thought about when you were talking about, you know, people are always waiting for someone else to kind of go ahead and start it. You know, be a leader. If you're gonna have a crowd, then lead the crowd. We need some people to stand up and lead some things, start some things, do some things. Everybody is so just into themselves and self-seeking and self-gratification and instant gratification. We talked about last week how we are so prone to see the negative almost in everything, and so full of drama until when there are some good, there's so much more good to see, so many more blessings than we have problems. But people are so problematic, and they just focus on such negative. We sit around and we wait. Even when you're out, just think, it takes one person to start clapping. And then now some people start clapping. They don't know what they're clapping for, in some cases. standing up, same thing. You got a crowd of people sitting down. Let one person stand up. This happens quite often in church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're waiting for someone else to stand up.
To do it.
When you've had a feeling to stand up and give God some praise for 10 minutes, but you just
let
one person to start it off. Well, you do it.
Why? Right.
So we're so prone. We have so much to say, but so little that we will stand up and do. And great point, Sika, about, you know, we didn't have rights to vote. People were killed, fought for this. So, and so many other things. So wake up. You know, that's this topic. Wake up, people. Wake up. And we do perish for a lack of knowledge, but that is not because it's not there. You know, I think one of the, this makes me think about, I can't remember the first time I heard this, and I don't remember who exactly it was that said it, but, and if it's really true, but it makes sense. If you want to keep it from us, put it in a book.
Yeah, I heard that, and it's I remember when I first heard that, I laughed, but it was funny, but it stung as well.
Right.
Because it's the truth.
Right. Mm-hmm. And reading is not for everybody, but, I mean, I love to read. I love picking my books out, and I'll pick through them. And for those who don't, then it's my job to share what I get from reading. It's
right.
Share the things I used to tell kids, you know, reading allows you to go places you may not ever get to go, and to get into the minds of people you may never be able to meet. Now, does that mean everything I read is for me? Everything I read, I take it in and I apply it? No, not everything, but those things that I can make applicable to my life, I do. And for those people who don't like to read, because I've not always liked to just really, really read. But once I started and found out, wow, this really is like going many places and talking to many people that I might not ever get to talk to and hear their opinion on certain things. Some I disagree with, some I totally agree with. So wake up. And if you're not going to wake up, then at least be an example for the people that are coming up behind you. You know, at least give them something to take and run with.
That's true. You know, we are all teachers. Don't just think that the people getting paid with teacher written by the title of their name. No, we are all teachers, every last one of us. Even if you don't think you are, you're teaching somebody something. And so with Tammy saying how she loves reading, I love to read. Once upon a time, I didn't like to read. I like looking at pictures in the magazines and putting it down. But now I love to read because it fills my mind. It broadens my understanding. It increases my knowledge. It advances my wisdom. So I love reading. But a point, you know, food for thought, just to give back to you, in reading, whatever you teach, you retain 90% of. Versus if you just hear something, like when you go to church and you hear the sermon, they say you only retain a very small percentage of that sermon. But once you go out and you repeat it, or you teach it to somebody, or you're taking notes on it, once you begin to take notes, you're going to retain even more of that. But then once you begin to speak it and say back what was told to you, or what you read, or what you learned, you retain 90% of what you teach. And so in these books that Tammy and I read, it's not that we just read it, ooh, this is for me, ooh, this is for me, ooh, this is just filling me up. No. We get so excited and so happy about it, we can't wait to go and tell it to the next person, not even realizing that I wound up reading this. I learned this only about a year ago, that 90% of what I teach I retain. And so that excited me even more to where, oh, I'm going to tell even more because I'm going to keep it. It's going to stay inside of me. The more I share, the more I'm going to be able to hold on to it and apply what I learn. It's not easy to apply what you learn because it just like parents talk to the kids and it goes in one ear and out the other. Things are told to adults. It goes in one ear and out the other. You only retain it and you only apply it if you want to. That's your choice. But in your actions, when like Tammy, remember growing up in school and we would, you know, the weekly readers and the programs for the school when you know, you would go home and tell your mom, I need some money because the book club is coming to school and it was always called Reading is Fundamental.
Right.
You remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
Reading is fundamental, and it is. You have no idea what you're allowing to pass you by just because you don't have a desire to know it.
I have noticed, and speaking of school, I was thinking about many, many years ago when I worked at the school in Georgia, and I remember when computers were just kind of getting introduced to the school and we were getting ready to open up our computer lab. And I found it so interesting. They called it the Right to Read program. Mm-hmm. And basically what this meant was that they were going to allow our small babies, our the little young ones, as early as preschool and kindergarten, to start working on the computers. And so they were starting to write, so to speak, using the computer, the keyboard, rather than writing with pen and pencil as we did. I was a bit disturbed even at that time because I thought, well, don't they need to learn how to write first so that they can know how to read and then go to the computers? But, of course, they saw it differently. Now, fast forwarding that to this show, I used to type my information out for the show, my work. I would sit and type it out. And just recently, I started writing it. And what I found is that when I write it out, I have to refer to my notes less. Mm. It sticks with me more. Crazy, may not work for everybody.
No, that's
but
that's
I found
what
that
first says.
When I write it, it's my thoughts and my something is working together, whereas when I'm typing it, I've just found that I have to make additional notes, notes on top of notes. I mean, I would end up with 30 pages, but writing it, it seems like it just sticks in my head, and then I'm able to flow with it, with some notes, of course, but it just didn't do the same because I thought, okay, I'm really sick of all of this typing and this going back. I would change it so many times, whereas when I write it, it just seems to flow better. So I thought about when you said that, Tika, about the schools and so forth, and then bringing it fast forward to the kids that we have, what I see going on with kids today, I'm just like, really? I mean, really? Are you serious? You know, I'm just trying to figure out what's really going on. What is really going on in your head? What is your thought process? How did we get here? And not saying that that's the total issue or the issue, but we're failing them, and we failed in some sense in just where they are today. But don't want to get off on that. I guess we could, because the next topic I wanted to talk about is Miss Gabby. The lines are open, you guys, so again, let me check and make sure that we don't have anybody waiting. Okay. We're good, and I'm going to check the chat line as well, if you'll give me just a minute. And remember, if you're listening online and you have not registered as a follower, we will not be able to see your comments or questions, so you will have to call in or register if you'd like tonight and then submit it, or you could call in at using the 818-691-7406 number. But we are open on both the chat line and the phone line. So moving on, as you all know, our Gabby won, and I must say I was so disturbed when I heard this what's going on with women, mostly women, talking about Gabby's hair. I found that it took me right back to our first lady, Michelle Obama. It took me right back to, I remember hearing so much about she's not this, she needs to do this. I mean, our president's wife, first lady. I remember hearing she needs to do this, she needs to dress more like this, and I'm thinking, really? What, really? I mean, is that all you have to talk about? And so when I heard what was going on and what people were saying and the controversy that was going on and, you know, the things that people were saying about Gabby's hair and what she should have did to her hair and should not have done to her hair, I thought, again, really? Are we still here? Really? We have someone, this young girl who has apparently worked night and day to be where she is. And I heard Dominique say that, you know, if she had worried about her hair back then, she would not have come so far as well. But are we really, and I know the answer to this because I see it daily, are we still there, I want to say, to women? Are we really still there? And are we not trying to move on past what my sister or your sister looks like, what their hair looks like? And most of the people, I'm sure, and I'm just going to say this, that are talking probably have weave down to their, not probably don't even have their hair in their head. So, I mean, really, are we there? You got this young baby, and all we're going to do is put out negative things about, that she obviously is going to hear. Are we still there? I would really, I don't have a whole lot to say on that other than really, are we still there? And if you're one of the women that commented on her hair, then I feel sorry for you. I really do. Because, you know, I mean, I was, I don't know. Tika, you can take that one.
Well, no, I mean, that just makes me think of the song by India RE. She says, I am not my hair. I am not my skin. I am the soul that lives within. We are not the clothes we wear on the outside. We are not our hair, the way we wear our hair. We are not the makeup that we put on our face. We are not anything that we can put on this temple. Who you are is what is on the inside. And, I mean, it just takes it back to, I mean, it's amazing because God says be quick to listen and slow to speak. So when I keep my mouth closed more, I recognize so much more than I've ever noticed before. And it makes me say, okay, Lord, was all of this really going on before? Was I just blind? And I know I was just living in the world. I was just a part of that world. But since I decided to step out because I want to take a new route and a new road in life, I decided to just be quiet and pay more attention and just listen. And looking at, you know, how do you criticize, you know, everybody's so critical. Everybody is so critical. Criticism comes from hatred. Criticism is condemnation. Criticism is judgment. When you're condemning and when you're judging, what is that? What does the word have to say about that? It says that the way you judge, you will be judged by the exact same measure. So if I'm harsh on what I have to say about this, but then I expect God easy on me when I'm in my mess, no. Be careful what you judge and be careful what you criticize. I heard T.D. Jakes say this. Be careful what you judge and what you criticize because you may very well become the very thing you criticize. And you do. Whatever you talk about, dog out, condemn, you know, spit on with words, whatever you tear down, you're next.
And I think the criticism, when people are so quick to criticize someone, especially,
it's just hatred.
Positive thing. The hatred is for themselves.
It's
I think
hatred.
That a lot
yeah.
of times because
it's
there's self identity, self awareness about who am I versus who I want people to think I am. So when you see someone like Gabby, you know, do what she did, if what you see when you see her, when you look at her is what her hair looks like, then I pity you again. And your hatred or your, that's coming from your dislike for yourself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How you want to look at it. And that's, I would rarely say something is just black and white, but to me that is, there's something going on within you. If you look at this baby that has done so well and say, and that's what you see.
You know what, Tammy, what I find is when the most critical people, the people that, you know, the most critical people, who and what they criticize, that's what they cannot do. They cannot do those that they criticize. And it's like it is something, it is anger, it is envy, it is a whole lot of hatred in them because you didn't get to where this person has gotten to. You haven't achieved what they have achieved. You can't do what they do, so you condemn what they do or what they've become or how they are or how they look.
Right, and that's where the self-hatred. You hate where you are in life. You hate where, you know, what you've allowed life to bring you. Because again, where you are. I mean, we have to take some ownership of where we are in life. I mean, things do happen, but again, you pick up the pieces and you move on. You don't have to stay there. Every day can be a new day, the start of a new life. So if you're waddling in your mess and you choose to stay there and focus on your hair and covering up this and that, then that's where you've chosen to be. and you need to just to own up to that. But again, I just find pity in this world as we talk about things like this, Gabby, and again, you know, our first lady. I just remember thinking this is crazy, this is insane, but we can,
you know,
do it to one another in this manner.
What I find and notice is that with criticizing, with judging, and being, you know, having a condemning voice and a judging voice, that's really, like Tammy said, that's from the inside. That hatred comes from the inside. A truly critical, condemning person, that is their world on the inside, and they're projecting it outward. And so there's so much hatred on the inside, and what you see on the inside is so ugly. Your world is so dark and unhappy. You're miserable on the inside. So whatever's going on the inside is projected through your eyes, and that's what you see on the outside. You cannot see good on the outside of you when you recognize no good on the inside of you, and vice versa. You cannot see a world that's dark and ugly and see something beautiful on the inside of you. If you recognize beauty and value on the inside of you, you'll see beauty on the outside. It's projected from whatever's inward. And vice versa, when there's beauty on the inside, you see beauty on the outside. But when there's darkness, bitterness, hatred, and ugliness on the inside, you will project that. That's projected through your mind's eye, your perception. It's projected from that, because that's what's in your heart. So it's projected through you, and that's the world that you see. The dark world that you see on the outside, that you speak against, that you voice your opinion against, that you condemn against, that's the world that's on the inside of you as well. So
we have
just
a caller, Tika. I'm gonna.
Oh, great.
Caller. We have Faith from Nashville.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good.
We're getting a feedback from you, Stacey, for some reason.
A feedback?
Yes.
Oh, I am. I'm driving. So, I experience is that I am Muslim, and I do wear the headscarf covering every day. And, you know, it doesn't seem like, well, it seems like the stereotype and how people are always going to judge you. I live both sides of the, I guess you could say, my perspective on life. I live the Christian life, and now I am Muslim. So when I have people who randomly, like, start judging me, it kind of makes me feel like, well, you don't even know me. Like, you haven't even got to know me. Like, I've called myself, I'm now breaking the stereotype. Like, when somebody's sitting there staring at me, I tend to say hi just so they know the next time they see somebody with a scarf that, hey, we're not, you know, you can talk to us. We're no stranger. We want to be said hi to, like, spoken to. And, I mean, we're really nice if you get just opened up and just, I guess, think outside of the box, or not even think outside of the box, but just, you know, use your communication skills, what you have, to just say, hey, how are you today? Get to know somebody, because with my experience, I remember, like, I had this one man, I was walking into a store, and we were in the mall, and he, like, almost ran me over, and with that, he was just like, remove that thing off your head. And I was like, well, why don't you open your eyes? I mean, you see, in today's society, people are going to judge you no matter, like, what you're doing. Like, the Gabby who won a gold medal, yet they're not talking about her gold medal. They're talking about her hair. Really? Mm-hmm. Like, are we that narrow-minded to, like, just judge everybody off, like, little things? It's like, do you even have a heart? I don't know. That's my perspective on that.
Right. And Stacey, thank you for that. You're exactly right. And, you know, again, we mentioned early on, I don't know how long you were able to listen in, but we were mentioning Romans 14, how it talks about, you know, welcome everyone, regardless of their beliefs. You know, because, again, people believe based on what they were taught, how they were raised, history, and so forth. So before we judge, again, we don't all quite know everything about religion.
Of course.
Okay. So thank you for sharing. Anything else you want to share?
That is it. That's it. You guys have a good night.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Bye. Okay. The lines are back open. I apologize for the feedback. I'm not sure if that's because she was driving and probably cell phone is picking up her sound. So apologize for the feedback, but I wanted to get her in to share her experience with being judged by what she wears, so to speak, so and her religion. So thanks again, Stacy, if you're still listening, for sharing with us. But that kind of addresses the things that I listed as my top four, I think it was four or five, that I wanted to talk about. Now, we have more time if any of you out there want to get in and voice your opinion or have a question. Some other things, I know Tika mentioned the violence that is taking place. I had teen violence on mine, but just did not make my top four or five. The Trayvon Martin story, I think, I do want to say just a little bit about that, because I remember when this first happened and how it was just all over, plastered everywhere. And this story is by far not over. And it's still so much more to be done, even if it's a way or gives you some fire, put some fire in you to go out and do something with the youth or even with your own kids. Start something within your own community. I'm just amazed how I rarely hear this come up now. It's like as soon as it leaves the air, or if it's no longer, if the media moves to the next story, then we forget about the last story. No matter how important it was, but I mean, there was not a day I couldn't log on. Somebody was saying something about Trayvon Martin or what's going on. I doubt very seriously if people even know what's going on with the case now, because it's no longer in the light. It's no longer the media's focus, and so it's like we're so, again, that instant gratification. We want to be seen, and we want to look good, and we want to be right there when it's happening. But when it's over, it's over. Right on. Wait till the next story comes up, so we can take a hold of that. When there's so many more Trayvon Martins, there are going to be so many more to come. Because what we do, we hear the story, we get caught up in the story. The story died, we die with it. So that goes back to what we were saying. You know, if you're going to lead the crowd, if it's not happening, start it. Because they're sure to follow. Somebody will follow. Somebody will, because we have so many followers. People will love to get behind you. It's just they don't want to start anything and they don't want to be over anything. So all I have to say about Trayvon, and I talked about the ones that I wanted to talk about tonight. Tika, if you want to, I'm sure I'll be able to share more on the violence, I think, that you were going to talk about. And I don't know if it was just teen. I think you were just speaking violence and all, right? Overall.
In general. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Well, go ahead with that.
Violence in general. Oh, I didn't have just a specific topic, but I mean, that was just, I pulled that from everything that we had talked about earlier. It was in being critical and from the Chick-fil-A, to where that is something to where people feel the need to physically go and get in another person's building, their place of business. They feel the need to get in their place of worship. Was a murder at a mosque that just took place recently, to where people are so violent, whether it's race related or usually it's race related, it's religion related, it's related in a way to where I'm against you and I feel the need that I feel that I have a right to stop you. And I'm going to do it with my hand. I'm going to apply physical action. I'm going to use a weapon. I'm going to do something to destroy you because I have a right to destroy you. And the craziest thing to me is that person has every right to live on this earth and do everything that you feel you have a right to do. It bothers me so that when someone doesn't see eye to eye with something that we believe in or something that we like or something that we don't like, that we feel a need to take it upon ourselves to go and destroy another human being. One of the things that's always completely disturbed me, has been black-on-black crime. And I remember hearing about this when I was much younger, when I was a teenager, just hearing about it. And it would just hurt me to my heart because I lived in California at the time. And the Bloods and the Crips, that hurt me so that I knew that these are just two groups of young kids filled with ignorance fighting one another for territory. When they don't own the block, they don't own the neighborhood, they don't own that portion of the city, but they claim it to be their own. And that hurt me. I remember being a teenager and seeing constantly on the news, and one thing about the news, and I'm guilty of this, I don't like the news, I don't look at the news, and I actually tune the news out. I suffered years of clinical depression, and so one thing that my therapist told me to do was stop looking at the news, because it's only going to make you feel worse, because you're feeling hopeless right now, and if you see the world and all the things that's going on in it, it's going to make you feel even more hopeless. So you're going to have to tune the news out for a while. And that was great for me at the time because it did work, but it's made me to where I've tuned it out so long for so many years. Now I have to force myself to tune the world back in because I got to know what's going on in my society. Otherwise, I'm you know, just in my own world, and this world ain't about me. So I have to know what's going on in the world. So I have to force myself to look and view things like that. But it bothers me so when it doesn't matter what race you are, same race violence, opposite race violence, you know, different religion violence, different nationality violence, violence against anyone, you know. To me, that's like a personal abomination. I just it sickens my soul that anybody feels the right to take the life of another. And so many young people, I believe that they're completely desensitized through a lot of the video games. And I'm not just saying it because I heard it, but I look at the video games and I look at how vile the games are and how vicious and malicious they are. I look at the blood splattering and the crime type games, and everything is just gunfire and shoot 'em up and bloodshed. And it's just when someone is just playing something like that constantly, I think it desensitizes them, and I think it makes them step out of reality and realizing that if I go and force myself upon someone and take their life, I'm going to have consequences to where I will lose my freedom. This thing that I think I own, my freedom, I'm going to lose it. And so I remember when a truce was called, and I thought that was the greatest thing, but I heard recently that whatever frustrates you the most, your greatest frustration is what you were placed here to solve. And I find that it is several things that frustrate me. I don't just have one great frustration, but I'm greatly frustrated by the world I see every day and what is going on with the violence against one another and people just taking it upon themselves to go and voice their opinions on someone and take their life. Oh, well, I'll take your life if you won't listen to me. Then that's the way I'm going to take a stand. When taking a life and terrorizing somebody and destroying a culture or a society, robbing someone of their past and forcing something on them, I think all of that is wrong. And no matter what, that's going to continue to happen because what you don't know, that's why I say we perish for a lack of knowledge. Whatever you don't know, you'll repeat as well. So there is some history that we do have to pay attention to because we repeat it. We repeat it. And how do you know that you're not repeating something that has already been done? Everything in society repeats itself, even back to biblical days. There is nothing new in this world. It may be revamped or redone or something's added to it, but nothing's new under the sun. Absolutely nothing is new under the sun. But we repeat every single thing that has already taken place. And wake up, what the show is called, wake up. Wake up just means that I realize that, oh, my goodness, these are so many things that bother me. And it was sharing that with Tammy. I noticed that she felt the same way about it, too. But I remember just having to pray for it because I felt and thought, okay, Lord, this world is just so crazy. I know I can't make a difference. I know just me, I can't make a difference. But you'd be amazed at the difference that one person can make. because one person's going to talk to another person and another person, and you're going to come together as a group that will make a difference. So never say that you cannot make a difference or your voice cannot make a difference or your positive impact or your positive words or actions cannot make a difference, because it truly can. And no matter what, we can't sit back and just expect violence upon one another, whether it be individuals or a full-blown religion. No matter what, any form of attack on it is just trying your best to force upon this group of people or this individual your beliefs. And no matter what, we're not going to have the same beliefs.
I think in reference to the violence part, tying it back to the teen violence, and particularly with the Trayvon Martin story and our young African-American men, I think what we are doing as a society is really just stamping whatever bill that has not been passed. You know, it must be some bill out there, because continuously I just continue to hear story after story, some that don't make the news. You know, Trayvon Martin, like I said, this story has happened many times before, and it's going to continue to do so because, again, we allow the story to die, and our fight goes down with it. I can recall a story, and this one has been going on for now probably 7 years or so, and many people, I'm amazed, have never heard of it, but it's a story where there were two guys. One, it was a Terrence Williams and I believe Felipe, I think Santos was this, the second guy's name, where both these guys went missing after being in the company of a police officer in the Florida area. Both went missing. Now, this there's so many things that take place, and there's interviews that take place with the police officer. He's saying that he didn't remember coming, you know, even seeing the guy, having the guys in his car. I mean, this is like 2-3 days later that they each had gone missing, and probably a few weeks apart. And they were, these young men were he was the last to see these young men after the investigation came through. That's, I don't ever remember hearing that story hit the news as it did Trayvon. So what I'm saying, there are many more Trayvons, and there are going to be many more, because we don't stand up and fight and keep the fight going. Not only that, when we don't do that, what are we telling our young men? I have a young son. I have a young adult son who I really have to pray for, because he is in a state of mind where, just keep it real, he just does not like police officers. He just does not care for what they stand for, what he believes they stand for. And I have to go over continuously, you can't judge all of them. You can't say that all of them are the same. But I, at the same time, I understand his frustration. We heard the story today where the young man died after being in a coma for quite a while. He and I both were looking at this story, and he was like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. And he wanted to walk out the room. But I called him back in. Some of you may not agree with this, because as the story went on, they went on to explain what had happened to the four cops that were involved in this situation. And one had been shot in the face. One, I think his son had been killed. You know, so you can't get away from wrong. I mean, you don't get away from wrong. So, but yet, we still need to fight so that we don't have other Trayvon Martins, that we don't have other Terrence Williams, who again was in the company of this cop before going missing. And then several weeks later, there's another minority that goes missing after being in this cop's car. So, you know, what are we telling our young men when we say, okay, you guys can keep killing them, you can keep beating them up when there's no reason to, you can keep doing what you're doing. So why would they have any hope? You know, not that they shouldn't, and they have to find their own hope, but we as adults and as parents need to stand up, wake up. That's the topic. We need to wake up, because it does matter. Your vote matters. What you do or don't do, it matters. We can do more together than I can do alone. right now, if I had more women saying, okay, you know, I'll take a Saturday. We should be able to meet with young girls every Saturday. You take a Saturday, I'll take a Saturday. But everybody wants to do their own thing. It's all about me, me, me. And it, like Tika said, it does get, you do get overwhelmed sometimes, like, why am I doing this? What am I doing? They're going back to their situations. They're going back to their lives. They're going back to their homes. They're going back to their schools. Their life doesn't change. But somehow we have to believe that what you say and what you do at some point in time will affect their lives. If it just affects one person who decides to do the same thing that you're doing later in life, we just have to believe that. We just have to believe that. Believe the good rather than the negative. We talked about that last week, again, how we just focus on the bad, what we see, the negative. But I have far more blessings than I have problems. I do have my share of problems, but I have far more blessings. So, and I have to remind myself of that sometimes. So you just have to tell your mind and your heart what you want in your life and for your life. So, Tika, if you don't have anything else, I did not mean to take the show this long tonight. We've really been trying to work
okay. It,
so, but we've gone over once again. So the lines are open, and I'm going to check the chat line before I see that we do have one, but I can kind of address that off the air from the chat line. So if you have anything, you're on online with us, and you have anything that you do want to get in, now is your time to select the number one so that we'll know. Otherwise, it's been a great show as always, and thank you all, especially our new listeners, a couple of new listeners tonight, so appreciate that. And I just want to say I've not checked, but the last time, I probably should have did that before tonight, but for July, we actually went over the 2,000. I checked.
Wow.
About 2 weeks ago. So we actually have gone over. July was the highest month ever. So really, really thankful to all of you who are tuning in and who are apparently telling people to listen in, because I checked, it was like 1900, and then I checked again, it was a little over 2,000. So I should have checked tonight so I could have given you an accurate number, but I did not. But it was very fulfilling and rewarding, particularly with the topics that we discussed. They're not so drama-filled, and we're just encouraging change, that you go through some self-discovery and be the change that you want to see. You know, I listened to a song that's called I'm Waiting for the World to Change, and as I posted, you know, while you're waiting, work to be the change that you're waiting to see in the world, because the world might disappoint you. People will, for sure, always, on some occasion, sometime or another, will disappoint you. So you have to have more to hold on to than your expectations of the world and people. So that being said, while you're waiting for the world to change, make sure that you're working to be the change that you want to see, and find a cause. Find something that you believe in and stand up for it. And if it's not something supporting that, then start something. You don't have to always wait for the first person to get up and clap. You stand up and clap. You don't have to wait for the first couple or first person to get up and dance. You start it. Start something. So there's so much more out there to be done, and there's so much help needed and so much work that we can do. So vote. Start there. Vote. Find out what you're voting for, who you're voting for. And start with one campaign, one person. If it's too much, you know, again, every day is a new day, and it's never too late to start. So wake up, my people, and we look forward to having you back here next Monday, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And please remember to share the show with someone and invite someone to listen in with you. Have a very, very exciting month coming up. We have some programs coming up where we're going to have some people on the show talking about some things. So that's coming up, and we'll share more of that with you probably next week as we finalize the date. So, again, thank you for listening, and thank you for your support. I'm going to pass it over to Tika, and she's going to close it out.
Well, I just wanted to end the show with like I mentioned before, knowing a portion of your history, because there's absolutely nothing new under the sun. And history does repeat itself. It's not just something that the older people like to tell you, but it's true. And I just like to end the show with the question, am I my brother's keeper? And I'd like to just read a small insert from some research that I was doing, but it says the phrase, my keeper, occurs in the context of the story of Cain and Abel. And this is located in Genesis 4, 1 through 9. It says, after the Lord expelled Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden for their disobedience, Cain killed his brother Abel out of jealousy that God had found Abel's sacrifice acceptable. But he rejected Cain. But after this murder, the Lord, knowing full well what had happened, asked Cain, where's Abel? Cain's response was, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And what I'd like to complete in this is there is a grain of truth in this brazen lie. Despite the surely response Cain offers to God who created him, while no one is the absolute keeper of others, in that we are not responsible for everyone's safety when we're not present. But every man is his brother's keeper in that we are not to commit violent acts against them or allow others to do so if we can prevent it. So this sort of keeping is something that God has rightfully demanded of everyone on the grounds of both justice and love. And so wrapping that all up, are your brother's keeper, whether you believe so or not, and they are your keeper. And so ending this show, hoping and praying that you keep justice and love in your heart. We hope that you tune into another week of Butterfly Evolution, another night of Butterfly Evolution next Monday. God bless you all and good night.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.